Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Prevailing Prayer Charge for today. I've been very deliberate and selective in by the Spirit in how to present the words to help us focus and to help us charge towards a certain future in the Lord. And I believe yesterday we spoke about righteousness. I explained to us yesterday that if God said you should do something, and you do it the way he said you should do it, you are righteous. That is what is called righteousness. That is the true definition of it. A Jonah cannot be righteous. Why? Because God said, go to Tarshish, go to the Navy, and then he headed to Tarshish. So you can see that, how can you see that? That is righteous. That he didn't obey the Lord the way it should. And it is important because our walk with God is individual and personal. It is not in general. So when they say, oh, there is 10 commandments, ask no business with you. Because it is not, this is, salvation is always an individual thing. The 10 commandments are not individual in nature. They are for the public. God does not lead us by a mob. He leads us one by one. All of us saw this audience of one. He's always talking to you as he's talking to me. He's always talking to me as he's talking to you. And he's talking to us from where we are now, taking us to where he has shown us and where he's leading us to. Today, I'll be introducing a third element into the dynamics of my teaching, which is how to deal with unfortunate situations and circumstances. How to deal with unfortunate situations and circumstances. That's not the title. The title is Take Control of Your Life. So that's the topic, Take Control of Your Life. But I'm focusing on how to deal with unfortunate situations, circumstances, and people. Let me add people. So that everybody can know clearly from the beginning the things I want to address. The Bible said, when God called Abraham, he gave him an instruction to go in a particular direction. So he received instruction as to where to go, and he was supposed to go alone with his family. The Bible then said, Abraham took Lot, his nephew, along on the journey. But Lot did not receive a direct instruction from God on the mandate of Abraham. He just came along for the ride. And the scriptures say that as Abraham increased, Lot also increased. Meaning, he was what we used to say in Africa is stopping grace. He was benefiting of the grace of Abraham. Because it is simply a law of nature. If your animals eat where my animals eat, if they drink where my animals drink, if they go through the same process, they are going to most likely or all the time become the same. If they will get disease, all of them will get it. If they are going to be healed, all of them will be healed. If they are going to be robust and healthy, all of them will be robust and healthy. So it is just a law of association. And then one day, it wasn't Lot, it was his servants and Abraham's servants that had a contention. It was his servant and Abraham's servant that had a contention. And they brought the matter to Lot, and then they brought the matter to Abraham. Now, this Abraham and Lot standing by side, and their servants had fought. The right thing to do in this kind of circumstances, when you see that, okay, I have a friend. Since I began to walk with this friend, my life has been better. I used to be dull. Then I met this person. We began to hang out together, and I realized my grades started getting better. I used to have a very shoddy left sense. Then I met this person. We became friends, and suddenly, I know how to combine colors just by being with her. I have a very bad social life. I just stay in my room. I'm recluse. I don't like going anywhere. Then I met this person, and suddenly I realized I improved in my social grace. And we all have what we call self-awareness. A lot of us pretend as if we don't, especially Africans, we would mortgage everything on God. We do not take responsibility for our own life. Africans have that thing. If something good is happening to them, it is the grace of God. If something bad is happening to them, it is enemy from the village. They are just ping pong table. Somebody just uses them to play ping pong. They do not have control or say over their own lives because they do not take responsibility over their own activities, over their own lives, over their own decision making. So this is one of the problems that has bedeviled Africans for ages. If they make a bad decision, they say it's them. But that's not always so. If you are working with a friend and your life goes bad, as in head in the wrong direction, suddenly you that you are leading the class or your business is doing well, suddenly your friend introduces you to a group or a club and you find yourself going for parties every other weekend. You will not take care of your children at home, you will not take care of your husband, or you are the husband, you just go with some friends to hang out and you neglect your wife and children. You notice that I was doing better until I met this person. The same applies to both sides. Somebody can be making your life better. And somebody can be making your life terrible. You should know where in truth you stand in that relationship. Don't call yourself the alpha when you are not the alpha. A lot of us don't understand that. You are the one leading the pack, but you are modest, so in such a way that you are pretending as if somebody else is leading the pack. No, I'm the one leading the pack. I'm the one leading this pack. This is my pack. I'm the alpha here. And if you are not the alpha, if you are the better, if you are the one that is like Lot, that is following Abraham, know your station. I'm benefiting all the grace of this man. So you will tell your servant immediately, hey, anytime you see Abraham's servants coming, wait for them to drink first, to eat first. They will not finish everything. They will just eat what they can and move. After that, you come and take your own. That would have been appropriate for Lot. It would have been the right behavior. But Lot thought he was a big man. He did not understand that he was just profiting off association. Didn't understand that he was just enjoying grace, helping grace. He said, so that we don't fight anymore, let us part ways. Ah. Let me say something to you here. If you overestimate yourself as a Christian, if when you are supposed to learn, when you are supposed to learn and be humble and put your feet on the ground and learn. If you become pompous unnecessarily, if you assume that you have come into your own unnecessarily, no matter what is in your hand, it will not last because you lack the grace to sustain it. You lack the grace to sustain it. That's why you see young people, they say, oh, I need money. I need money. When I have money, I'm going in billionaire. I say, you cannot. If they give you 10 million, you are going to be broke in 3 months. Ah, no, but I mean that all I need is money. I have ideas. I will just be laughing. These are children. They do not understand. Money has nothing to do with what is in your bank. Money has everything to do with what is in your mind. A person will grow. You must grow in stature. The day you manage 100,000, when you master that one, then you move to 1 million. You begin to notice that consistently you have 1 million in your account. Then you begin to yearn for more. And then you move to 10 million. But anybody that has grown will know that that's how everybody grows. That was how Jesus grew. That has always been the principle. It is not that you receive everything in one day. If you receive everything in one day, you are just going to squander it because you do not have the internal structure to manage it. So Lot here did not have the internal structure. But because he could see servants, he could see animals, he assumed that he was rich. He was actually very poor. The things he was seeing, all the cows, all the animals, it was what we call a mirage. Something that exists because of somebody else's effort is not yours. Let me say that again. If you and two other people put money together to do a business and the business begins to flourish, and you are truthful to yourself, you know that the engine room of this business is sister so and so. She's the one that is actually making contacts, bringing the money. She's the one that is the brain of this business. She's the muscle of this business. Even though we attend meetings with her and we try to support her, she is the one with the drive of this business. You know it yourself. And at the end of the day, profit will come and you will share 20, 40, 30. And then one day you are telling yourself, what is it? I can also do it. What did you do it? Welcome, poverty. You see now, you step out with all the money you have, like the prodigal son, you will come back with nothing. So let's go to the prodigal son. The same principle. The father who has the wealth had grown all the structures he needed for the wealth to be retained and be managed and be maintained. And this boy came out one day and said, I need to give my inheritance. I want to go and do business abroad. The father gave him. What happened? He couldn't. It was impossible. A fool and his money are soon parted. When somebody is wise, you will never part a wise man with his money. You will never. But a fool and his money are soon parted. Again, you have to understand why it is important that you have an understanding of how to deal with situations like this. Self-awareness for the Christian is a reflection of the true measurement of your worth. Of your worth. You are married. Your husband is the rich one, or your wife is the rich one. Let me use the one where the wife is the rich one. I have several cases where God has blessed the wife with the ability to make money. Everything she touches will turn to gold. I was one lady. They brought her to me 2019. Mental issue. What is the problem? The husband introduced that to a Korean product to become a marketer. Within 6 months, she became the African representative of that product. She was selling. It was a network marketing project. She was selling and moving. They gave her an official car. They gave her a lot of things. The husband became extremely envious. The husband began to say this lady was using his glory. Everywhere they go, the husband would say, she's using my glory. She's using my glory. When you hear people talk like that, they are unfortunate people. Being unfortunate is a mindset. It is not something they cannot help. They can help it by changing their thinking. But when you see people who, rather than rejoice with those who succeed, immediately they want to claim that your success is their doing, but you are the one reaping, you are the one benefiting, while they are the one suffering. Let me say that again. Somebody comes to you and say, see how beautiful sister so-and-so is. When I first met her, she had nothing. And then I just noticed that she began to be finer and finer than me. Every time she come, when she touch my clothes, the clothes will just shrink. But when she wears her own will glow. So I noticed that girl has mammy water spirit. So I began to bless my clothes. So I realized that this girl, hey, evil spirit. That's evil spirit. Because why is she that? Every time she touch my own thing will go bad, and our own thing will be good. See, people who talk like that, they are unfortunate people. They see somebody shining. They cannot stand it. So they want to turn that glory to shame by using their mouth. They will then begin to ascribe the success of other people to diabolic means. They will see that you are rich. They will say, I only got what he's doing. Don't know that all these young men, they use people's destiny. They use people's glory. You don't know. You think it's ordinary, eh? You think it's ordinary, eh? When you hear people talking like that, those are unfortunate people. People that would see the success of other people. It is one thing to see people successful and you just look at them and you leave them be. But they would claim that success. They will say, I'm the one that did all the work. But it's the one that is sitting all the and they didn't do all the work. It's just a claim. That's a sign that somebody is unfortunate by nature. People like that, natural victims, they are unfortunate people. How you deal with them is that you distance yourself from them. You do not accommodate such people. When anybody comes around me, in fact, I don't have people like that. But before, when I was years ago, when I have anybody come around me who would pull down somebody else with the words of their mouth, try to minimize the grace of God on their life. Try to declare that the person is not what I know the person to be. Try to color the person's achievements as if they are not from God or from the devil up to luck. I distance myself from such people. I realize that these ones are the servants of Lot. They will create problems for you. At the end of the day, when Lot lost everything, the servants were nowhere to be found. Go and check your Bible. After they parted ways, Abraham and Lot, the next thing we saw was that Lot began to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lost as Lot. He lost everything. Somebody that was so great, so mighty, rich in cattle, rich in livestock, has a wife, has daughters, is doing well on his own. He called himself an entrepreneur. We saw that after he parted ways with Abraham, all his wealth just went down the drain. Why? Because it was Abraham that had the anointing. And Lot was just an associate enjoyer, associate beneficiary of the anointing. And yet he allowed some unfortunate people to part him, to separate him from the source. Don't be like Lot. If you must recognize where you stand in a relationship, in a destiny relationship, you must be able to measure by yourself whether your association with somebody is beneficial to you or not. If it is not beneficial to you, it is better to do without than to continue in the wrong association. Let me say that again. It is better to be on your own, that to tell yourself that, hey, I just want to be with somebody, and then you continue to be with somebody who is an unfortunate individual. It is better to separate yourself and say, hey, I can do bad all by myself. In fact, I use that expression all the time. If I want to do anything wrong, I can do it. I don't need you to help me to do wrong things, sir. If you are not helping me to go in the right direction, I don't need you in my life. Why? Because if I want to go in the wrong direction, I can do it by myself. So why should why Why should you be the one to suggest to me something that I would do that would lead me into trouble? You know, my wife was talking to me about years ago. I was talking about one of her friends. She said, this friend of hers took a picture, uploaded it on a website. And this friend is a female friend. Took a picture, put it on a website, and wrote on the website that she was a lesbian. And put her phone number there. That's an unfortunate person. That shouldn't be anybody's friend. And there are people like that who will be your life only. Their only desire is to sabotage your life. Their only desire is to pull you down. They will be pretending to be your friend, but they really want to see you cry. They know you are heading for a glorious place, but their job is to make sure you don't get there. They drive joy in putting others on the ground, in destroying the destiny of others. You know these people are littered. They are in the church. They are everywhere. And you know they are everywhere. People with the wrong understanding of life. People who are ensnarers. David said that the wild dogs, foxes, he said the wild dogs are hacking down my bone. They are tearing my flesh. He said, God, deliver me from them. And that was in David. Not you do not accommodate. I mean, 100%, you do not accommodate such people in your life, in your circle. You do not have mercy on them. If the person is your sister or your twin brother, you separate yourself. You say, no, I refuse to associate with an unfortunate person. Those people don't do well in life. And anybody that is their friend, that is their number one victim. They are like parasites. Once they leech onto you, until they suck you dry and you are dead, they will not let you go. If you are married to somebody like that, I'm sorry you are not married. I'm very sorry. Unless you are Ahab and the person is Jezebel, and both of you can give each other toxic energy, equal measure, toxic, that you give it to me, I give it back to you. You put me down, I put you down. You tear me, I tear you. If that is it, perfect marriage. But anybody that is of God, I cannot associate with anybody that is like that. So you must take stock of your friendship. That is one. Remember, I still do. Take control of your life. So I started from the physical relationship between adults. It could be husband and wife. It could be two friends. It could be sisters. It could be siblings. In 2026, as you begin your journey with God, and as you begin to achieve all the set goals that are before you, you might start from a position of an associate person who is working with somebody, and both of you are going in the right directions. Both of you, husband and wife, husband comes up with a vision. This is what we are doing. This is where we are going. This is the amount of money we have. Wife comes up with a vision. This is where we are going. This is what we are doing. And then the husband begins to, no, she's going to be greater than me. I cannot take it. That's an unfortunate person. Now, there is something fortunate about such a person. There is something joyous or acceptable about associating with such a person. Somebody that does not want you to do well in life is not your friend. It doesn't matter whether both of you you have done solemnizing of holy matrimony. You must immediately start calculating how to protect yourself from the eventual damage that this person will unleash on you. The one I spoke to you about, you know what the husband did? The husband begged her to let her have access, to let him have access to her bank account. The husband told her he wanted to do a business. He didn't need the money because she refused to release money to him. Said he didn't need the money at all. He just needed the the bank statements and to be able to prove that he has access to the money. So then she said, okay, this is my banking app. This is how much you can move. This is my token. Said you can quickly use it. And this man, Monday morning, took the children to school. Wife went to the office. He went back to the school, picked the children, withdrew all the money this lady has, and disappeared. He left a note on the table. They told me, I've always known that you're a witch. You're using my glory. My glory made you rich. So I've taken back, I'm taking back the money that you stole from me. I hope you recover and move on. And she left, and this woman, she began to behave like a mad person, roaming about the streets of Sharangisha and Magodo. Until one of our sisters, I believe she's on the call this evening, saw her, spoke with her, and then brought her to me. When she was brought to me, we sat down, we had a serious discussion. I saw that she was still employed, but you can't imagine somebody going to work and coming back and the family has disappeared. She couldn't go to work, she was so destabilized. I said, no, we are going to rebuild your life. That person is the unfortunate person. Don't worry. If you finish spending the money and come back, we don't need to pray. I can guarantee. If you took, how much did it take in total? She said there were 30 million. I said, you will spend it within 6 months. Within 6 months, he will be back. 6 months. He didn't have the internal structure to build wealth. Some people think, ah, if I see money, I would have to be poor again. It's a lie. You will be, in fact, the way you have the money, you are poor. Poverty is of the mind. You give some people, I know someone personally who did a business, joined a friend, and they did an oil and gas business, and his share of the money was 200 million naira. 200 million. Now, when it got to 200 million, was 32, got 200 million naira. He said, okay, thank God I'm now rich. How do I get more money? How do I turn this money into 1 billion? He said, I need, he said, the way I met this, my friend, you know, my friend's father was the one that gave us this IPO and all these documents. And then my friend came to me and then I said, oh, I can have some money. And now I got 200 million and everybody got paid. So these rich people, where do they stay? Said, oh, they stay at Nakonuga Hotel. Yeah, that's where my friend's father stays. So let me move to Nakonuga. Let me move there in Abuja. Let me move to Nakonuga. I will meet other rich people. They will do business with me. I will not be making money, but I cannot stay in a poor place and they will do business with me. So this guy, I'm not kidding. He left Lagos, went to check in at Nakonuga, where she was paying 950,000 naira a night. I told you he had 200 million. And he moved there, paid for a week, decided to talk to people there, interact there, and see if business will come. He wanted them to see that it's a big boy. Right, that he lived in a hotel and that he's rich. So rich people will now bring their money to him. Do you know this man finished the 200 million in 4 months? By the time he would meet me, he was poor again. So poor, they had to chase him out of the hotel because he started owing. And then he wrote to me and he said, please, can you tell our fellow brothers and sisters in the fellowship to contribute some money for me? I just needed something to get back on my feet. I said, no. I said, no. Nobody's contributing money for you. You are not rich inside. You do not understand money. You think physical cash is money. No. A wealthy man is the one that is rich in the inward parts. not rich in the spirit. I'm talking about there are people that the way they have grown and the things they have learned, if you put them in any nation on this earth, they will become very rich within 6 months or a year. And there are some people, put them in the midst of money, they will become very poor within a year. So I told the lady, I said, see, this is your husband. We don't need to curse him. We don't need to pray against him. We don't need to do anything to him. He is born with the children, 3 children, and he has 30 million naira thereabouts. I said, that's not money. I said, don't worry. He'll be back within 6 months. But I don't want him to come back and you are poor or you are mad. So focus your gaze on me. We will not think about him anymore. We will just pray for him. We will not think about him. We will not talk about him. We will act as if we went on holiday. We will focus and you will go back to the office tomorrow and you will continue your work and you will build up your strength again. Build up your strength again. You will build up your strength. You will become, you will surpass the current level of productivity you have. After all, now you don't have children at home to disturb you. You don't have a husband to cook for. So go back, focus. What if they don't come back? I said, trust me. I told them I'm not going to pray about it. I understand money. I understand how money works. Trust me. He will be back. We were at RCCG camp. Maybe about roughly 4 months later, we were at RCCG camp to do a prayer meeting. Myself, herself, and some other brethren from the local church I was attending at the time. When the husband came, nobody flogged him. He had spent the money. He had finished the money. He had squandered it. He then came with the children. He had gone to the house. The lady had moved, she had changed houses. She had moved away from that place to another place. Then he called her mom. The mom called her that, this man is falling, he's looking for you. Then she was the one that told the mother that, oh, next time he calls, tell him that I'm at this place. He came with the 3 children. Somebody that said they were using his glory by himself. He carried that, that glory. He brought it back. And he said he got paid off for the glory. He brought the glory. He came to submit the glory. He came. He began to cry. He went on his knees. I can name 3 or 4 people that were there with me. That some of them are in this corner. He has finished spending the money. The sister wanted to, she said, "Oh, by that time, by the grace of God, she had bought another car." He had spent all the money. He had also sold the car he took away. He came with $1 surplus that looks like something that they used to slap the dead in Mombasa. He was crying. The sister wanted to just come to me and she wanted to say, "I think God." So, hey, it's Uma. Like any of you here think I'm not born again, that's fine. That's very fine. I'm okay with it. Your opinion is fine. It's fine by you. My opinion of me is fine by me. I told her that day, I'm taking our children, I'm putting them back in the car, I'm taking them to your house. We want nothing to do with this man anymore. He held my leg. Please, you don't know me. I have the most forgiving heart in the universe. My heart is a forgiving heart. God knows. I'm like Jesus in all things. But Jesus did not forgive the devil. You have to go and become fortunate somewhere else. But nobody must give himself or herself so an unfortunate person to bastardize their destiny over and over again. Abraham parted from Lot. Lot lost everything. The prodigal son parted from his father. He lost everything. Demas parted from Paul. He came back empty-handed. You must understand that in any relationship you have, you look around you. Is this person building me up? Am I the one building them up? Am I the alpha here? Am I the beta? Am I the kappa? Am I the gamma? What am I contributing to this relationship? Does the strength of this relationship hold on to? And you must tell yourself the truth. Don't claim you are the one feeding somebody that is feeding you just so that you can look good. Tell yourself the truth all the time. Ah, thank God, though. I thank God for my life. I also thank God for my friend. My friend has been responsible for my welfare. That is how a fortunate person behaves. You cannot become what you envy. You cannot become what you envy. So, now to the metaphysical aspect of it. You have often had certain experiences by yourself before you became born again. Maybe you have this bad dream. And every time you have the dream, something bad will happen to you in real life. Maybe when you meet somebody, maybe the person is close to you, maybe your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your uncle, your cousin, somebody in your family. When the person comes visiting you, something bad will happen. Or when you visit the person, something bad will happen. You have noticed this trend. You have noticed this. That there is this person that seems to have a spiritual hold on me. There are some ladies, they know. They know that this, their ex-boyfriend, they mistakenly visit him. Even if they see him on the road, if he parks his car and he says, let me give you a lift. If they meet in church, anywhere they meet, as long as they meet, that will happen. They know it's, they have calculated it. Say, ah, my will is so weak when I'm dealing with this person. I will make up my mind that I want to go to the left. But once I see him, then he has this persuasive, he has this persuasive, dominating and persuasive power over my psyche, over my thinking. My leg will just become weak. I will just be stammering. I will not be able to say no. Some of my brothers, they know. And we have even passed through the age of being young men, by the grace of God. We are not little children anymore. So, many of us can relate with, there is this person. Ah, I have a weakness for this girl. If she just looks at me, I will go and carry my father's money and give it to her. If she should win, I will carry my mother's money, give it to her. If she should just smile like this, I will just sell all her family property. And I will need that. You know that this person, this part, you know that this person have a weakness I cannot explain. Are you going to be a victim of your life? Will you not set yourself free? You're not going to tell yourself that I will not live my life like this. So boy, it's not something to be enjoyed. That somebody will have so much power over you that the person will be boasting that if I call her on the phone, if she sees my missed call, no matter what she's doing under the heaven, she will drop it and be coming. And you say, ah, it's a lie, it's a lie. And the guy will pick his phone and he'll call the number. He will not even call it to ring. He will call it so that you cannot see missed call. And then let's see, his phone will ring. Hello, where are you? I saw a missed call. Come and meet me at CCC. And then she will show up like an hour later. I'll be like, hey, this kind of remote control. No man in this world, no woman in this world has that right to have such a power over anybody. That is the truth. Of course, I know that people have that kind of power over people, but no man, no woman has that right to have that kind of power over anybody. Now, any seven believers can exercise such ungodly control over themselves in that way. Nobody has that kind of power or control over a Christian. It is the one thing that a Christian must never allow in his or her life, that you will call Jesus your Lord and Master, and somebody else will be the one that is puppeteering you, and you are dancing on their strings, and you have no control for your whole life. It should never be. The same thing when you sleep and you dream. And in the dream, you will say, Darlinga, I always go to the village. Whenever I sleep, I go myself in my father's secondary school. A lady wrote to me and said, my father used to be a strong herbalist. So in our sitting room, in our house, in fact, in all the rooms in our house, a lot of people are buried there. Not bad people, our relatives, our cousins, our own huge. They were buried there. I've been there so many burials that they did it inside our sitting room, inside the room. So we basically have dead people under the house. And my dad did a lot of charms. And then I became born again and I left. And I left the village. I came to Lagos. But every time I have an interview, but I don't got, I have an interview, a job interview, I will just see myself sitting opposite my father in that sitting room. My father will be making a concussion, and then he will give me, and I will drink it. And I said, how many times has this happened? And he said, 7 times. And I looked at her and I said, is that how weak your spirit is? How can you have such a weak spirit? A spirit so weak, that it is a zombie. It's a zombie spirit that when you wake up in the morning, you'll be going, everybody will say, ah, look at that fine sister. They will not know that the spirit in you. That you. She said, but I've been there. I cannot control it. I said, don't say that to me. When Christians talk like that, it irritates me. That a Christian will say, I have no power. Hey? But this person is speaking in tongues. You have to understand that it is a weakness of the mind, not a weakness of the spirit. But the spirit that you have is a spirit of dominion. But you are exercising that spirit under a weak mind. How can your mind be so feeble? You build up your mind. You convince yourself. This is why we do affirmations. This is why we do declarations. This is why you say, I'm the head. I will not be the tail. I'm strong. I will not be fall. No weapon shall against me shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus, for our mercy. In you, I'm strong. Congratulations on God in Christ Jesus. No, why are you doing that? You are building up your mind. You cannot build up the Holy Ghost. You can build up your faith, but the Holy Spirit is already complete. Nobody can build him up, but you can build up your faith. You can build up your mind. You can enrich your mind. You can grow in grace. You can multiply in knowledge. But hey, do not be a victim of anyone. I told you, I said, see, I will show you how to be free. I said, how will I be free? I said, oh, I will show you. Pray in the spirit several times. And then, after praying the spirit maybe for an hour every day, you will sit where your father would normally have you sit, in your own house. You will sit the way he wants you to. You normally sit the dad in that dream. You will sit that way. You will then prepare maybe Bonvita, a concoction of your own. You will then teach yourself. You teach yourself. Every day you will say, thank you, Jesus. This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Jesus. I take this. I said, do it daily. So she began to teach her subconscious. She was doing it from the physical, but her mind was already doing it. The day she had that dream again, and she was about to take the concussion, she said, thank you, Jesus. And then she woke up. And that was the end of it. Because you must train yourself how not to maintain unfortunate reality. Programming that is meant to doom your destiny, that is meant to doom your life, you must be deliberate in saying no to such programming. So you have been set free. In fact, the Bible says that The whole world, they're envious of the liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Nobody has control over your spirit anymore. Christ is not the Lord of your life, and God did not take control of your spirit. You gave your life to Him, and then He gave you the Holy Spirit, who is the master controller of all destinies, so that you are free as you act in your own will to exercise that will. Got a message today. Lady wrote to me that she has a dream over and over and over again. That every time she has a dream, there will be a certain result. I saw it and I began to laugh. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a Christian. And you will sleep. And somebody will turn your whole sleep against you. Will afflict you with your whole sleep. Will take away your joy. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, we are not weak. As Christians, we are very strong. Not, hey, we do not even have the strength of man. The strength we have is the strength of the Lord. The strength, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have the strength of God. We have the power and the dominion of God. We must act accordingly. We must be deliberate about how we dispense the authority that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. A person who has been given authority and power does not become a servant to another person who has the diabolic power of any kind. I want the pastor once. On certain days, when we are going to have workers' meeting last Sunday of the month, he has this particular perfume he will use. And members of the church is quite rich. And members are very strong characters. All of them are millionaires and masters of their own lives. So when they come to church, they will challenge anybody. They would, no, they can rubbish a pastor. They can, if you misbehave, they will tell you to your face that you didn't behave well. So usually I have this meeting last Sunday of the month. After service, they will bring food to church. Somebody can have food, and then there'll be this meeting. And this one will wear this film. And those, whoever comes in contact with him, you will notice that they will be shaking. I mean, that they would be, there is something. I was working with him. But I didn't know. I noticed that people will come and they will just defer. If he tells, he will tell adults. So the way he will talk to them, you know, with authority, he has that. He will just sit down. No, I don't want to hear. And all of them say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So when they did something terrible, something very terrible, and the whole church decided that the young lady involved had come and presented her evidence, and the whole church decided that this pastor must go. And I said, somebody had told him that, so people have ganged up there saying things. And before coming to church, he went to dress up, use the same perfume, and came to church. And all the people that have been talking, I'm talking about mothers, people who are now, they are now, at that time, they were grandmothers in their 60s, 70s, who had decided that they were going to champion the thought of that young lady. When he came into church, none of them could speak. I mean, everybody became hush. He stood, took the microphone, spoke for a few minutes, dismissed the meeting. He said, oh. As he left, when he left, I sat there, I was thinking, what kind of power? This cannot be the power of God. Can somebody have to subject people to subject them to this kind of domination? I said, oh, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work with this man anymore. Because again, that was an unfortunate person. His end will not be good. I do not know his end. I just resigned. I saw everything that happened. I said, no, this is not the power of God. This is not the power of God. I know how the power of God works. But God will not do this to his children. This is in bondage. You can see it. I left. Maybe some years later, I now met one of the elderly women on the streets of Magodo. She now greeted me. How have you been? She now said, oh, we wrote a petition. We wrote a petition to the headquarters. From there, they transferred him away. Nobody could face him. In fact, the day he was leaving, no, nobody. I was like, my God. My God. I'm saying to you now that there are so many people in this world who use diabolic means to make a victim of others. Don't be a victim. Refuse to be a victim. Don't have a weak mind. Don't have a weak that somebody can just subject or submit or no, because you are in Christ already. Therefore, nobody should be able to do that to you. I mean, with all honesty, no man, no woman, either physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, no man should be able to dominate you. If you are willing to follow somebody, you are following somebody of your own will. Know that somebody will hypnotize you. No, you are born again. Anybody control your life by proxy? Somebody is sitting down and telling you, sit down there, and you can't do anything. You are shaking. You say, that my boss is very wicked. He's very wicked. But I'm going, guy, nobody went to a meeting last week. I ignored the person. Person must be on the corner. I ignored. Sent me the meeting about 4 times. But I mean, guys, this is my boss. I was like, you are, what is this message? You resigned the job. I mean, I cannot work with somebody that I'll be shaking. I'll be having, girl, my boss. My boss is so, my boss. And I saw the message first time, I smiled. I said, second time, I ignored. I said, no, let your boss torture you very well. When he finished, when you are tired of it, you break the yoke off your neck by yourself. You shouldn't work with anybody. You shouldn't be in a relationship with anybody. You shouldn't be friends with anybody that will turn your glory to shame. You must keep away from misfortune and unfortunate people. When you notice that that is their pattern, you must say, no, I will not be a party to this kind of life. That's how a Christian must deal with misfortune. You must take control of your life. You must not be a victim in this life. You must refuse the label of victim. You are a victor in Christ. This is your reality. This is your mindset. This is your conviction. This is your synesis. This is who you are. Pressed down but not destroyed. Persecuted, not abandoned. This is who you are. God is in you. God is at work in you. You cannot be a victim. You cannot be a victim. You know how to deal with people with wisdom. You know how to deal with realities with dominion. You do not become a victim to anyone. Take this charge and keep it. And use it to measure all your relationships as the hand of the Lord blesses you. It's time to give our offering. By the grace of God, I've announced to us over and over that throughout this month, as the Lord would instruct us and as we would obey Him, we are going to make sure that we take care of those who are less privileged. It is the one thing that is required of us by the Lord in this time. The offering you are giving today is an offering of liberation from oppression. If you are here, you are listening to me. And you have been oppressed in a friendship, at work, in a relationship. You have been so oppressed. You know that somebody is sitting on you. You want freedom from that. You are tired of this mental torture. You want help. You need divine help. You want to be able to breathe. You want to be set free. You are born again. So I'm not talking to those who are not born again. My address, this meeting is for born again Christians. This month, I address only born again Christians. That is the people to whom I'm sent primarily, the church. not unbelievers. I do crusade for unbelievers, but this meeting is for Christians. And you are a Christian full of God, born again, speaking in tongues, but you are oppressed. You are mightily oppressed, either spiritually or physically or psychologically or in your relationship. You just want freedom from that oppression. Please, give an offering. The offering is going to the needy, but it is important. It is the instruction. I do not pick topics. That's also angry. You never see me making a note or planning. This is what I'll say tomorrow. The Lord gives me instructions as to what to speak about and how to handle the service. And I just follow it. I've been doing that ever since we started this program about 3 years ago. Thank you, Father. As the children have given, Lord, and as the children, the funds will go to those who are oppressed in this world, the poor, the needy. I'm declaring it. That whosoever has laid a hand of oppression upon your children, that hand withers now. That any voice that will cause your children to quake in their boots, that voice is silenced. That anyone that oppresses your children in their sleep, in their dream, that oppresses them in their own house, any spirit whatsoever, that today the activity ceases. It is the word of God. I declare in the name of Jesus that in obedience to your word and as to conformity of what we have done today, your children are free indeed. From today, they will no longer be victims. I declare that you would train their spirits. Help them to train their minds. You will show them the path of life and they will not depart from it. They will become mighty and strong and they will do great and glorious exploits for you. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, Glory!
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 Glory! Glory! Glory!